Jen Schaefer wants to help media entrepreneurs find new ways to succeed. A Pulitzer Prize-winning business editor at the Philadelphia Inquirer, she left her daily journalism gig in 1994 to become one of the pioneers of the growing civic journalism movement. In 2002, she launched JLab to bring journalists together with innovative computer technologies.
Thank you for joining us in the podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, where do you see journalism at right now?
Well, I think journalism is very much in flux. A lot of legacy news organizations have been disrupted. But at the same time, a lot of media entrepreneurs are coming up with entirely new media products that are very exciting. And they are filling the gaps that have been created by old media, where old media is pulled out of areas or pulled reporters off the streets. So there's a lot of innovation going on, a lot of entrepreneurship going on.
So where does the JLab fit into this mix?
Well, JLab is a 10-year-old center. We're at American University, and we have funded media startups, mostly community news startups in some 70 communities. We also fund women entrepreneur news and information startups. So we've been on the entrepreneurship end for years, but we have also funded innovations in journalism with the Knight Batten Awards in Innovations, and I think we've distributed more than 200 prizes for journalists that are creative ideas.
So how would you describe the journalists who come in to JLab to try to get some support?
Well, we put out a national call for applications and ideas, and so we're really reaching out to journalists who have an idea, think they can make it happen. We give them some seed money to develop a kind of proof of concept website and get it launched in hopes that they can then leverage that proof of concept into more funding and grants or advertising or however they elect to support it. The people who apply, sometimes they are journalists, professional journalists who have taken buyouts from their news organization, or they've been downsized by their news organization, or they just see an opportunity that they want to pursue on their own. At other times, there are people that we would call civic catalysts. They're people active in their community who see a gap in news information, and they have a lot of historical knowledge about their community, and they want to convert their civic participation into a kind of media participation.
Now, your roots and that of the JLab come out of the civic journalism sort of approach. How would you define that, and what is the role that that's kind of playing in journalism right now?
Well, civic journalism was very big in the 1990s to the early 2000s, and it was an effort by legacy news organizations to figure out if they could do their journalism in a way that would engage citizens a lot more actively, seeking out voter agendas rather than candidate agendas, seeking out, I would say, visioning opportunities to see what a community could be, what the solutions to problems could be. It was actually very interactive, but it was really before the internet came on strong, and the interactivity took place in real rooms instead of virtual rooms. So you'd have a town hall meeting, for example, or a focus group that would be deliberating some of this stuff. From there, it was an easy transition to cyberspace, from real space to cyberspace, where you could do some of the same interactivity online.
So we say that this sort of came out of legacy journalism outlets who were sort of reaching out to the community. And one of the things about digital journalism, about the internet, is it's actually kind of put a lot of those tools into the hands of citizens, and lessen the control of maybe legacy journalists, legacy journalism outlets. How has that sort of played out in the last few years?
Well, I think we see it playing out in two ways. We have seen citizens become media creators on their own and start up their own initiatives in one way or another. The tech tools are very easy to use for anyone. We have seen them take a more active role in responding or sometimes criticizing media reports that come out when they think they're either unfair or incomplete, or they have something to contribute in the way of a tip or some knowledge so that they could crowdsource a story. And I think we sort of see it in a demand for more transparency in reporting. You know, citizens don't just take your word for it anymore. They can find out data themselves from other sources online, to even Truth Squad, what media is reporting. So they can take a role that way as well.
That's certainly a very valuable thing to do when you think about. I remember when people were first starting to talk about citizen journalists, they were thinking, oh, well, you know, mom and pop are going to go down and cover the city council meeting. And, you know, that was, they weren't going to have necessarily the same sort of approach. But, you know, the fact that you're saying that they're actually being media critics and monitoring the coverage and the fairness is, I think, really a sort of a powerful use of what's going on here. What are the challenges facing media entrepreneurs right now?
Well, I think we know that if you build it, it doesn't mean necessarily that people will come. You have to figure out ways to get the word out about what you're doing, and often that means you don't have a marketing budget, so it's a lot of guerrilla marketing using social media and Facebook and Twitter and whatnot to get the word out. I think scaling is a challenge. You're looking for revenues, and revenues are sparse for everyone. So if you want to add reporters, cover more territory, cover more issues, post content more frequently, usually you need more person power to do that. And sometimes people can do this as a hobby, but more likely they really need to get paid something for it. And so the challenge really is to raise the revenues to make that happen.
And, well, just getting paid is value in and of itself. I know it's funny the way you sort of described it. It's the what legacy newsrooms are facing in reverse, where they're coming at it from a big company who's trying to scale down to a place where they can work with a, you know, a smaller staff and tighter budget and leaner in leaner times. Or on the other hand, you have people coming up sort of the bottom who have nothing but are trying to, you know, gather enough information, gather enough skills, create a product that people will want to pay for, or at least, you know, use to reach that level. So everybody's facing the same problems as you were sort of saying. Have the media entrepreneurs have they changed a lot in the last 10 or 15 years? Just with the internet, are they looking for different things, or is it really kind of the same but just sort of a slightly different coat, for lack of a better word?
Well, I'm not sure even the word media entrepreneur was around much 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, or if they were, it would be people like Ted Turner, who founded CNN. I mean, they're not the kind of media entrepreneurs we think of as today. But I think that there are sort of front-end and back-end media entrepreneurs. There are media entrepreneurs that are looking to create content out front, cover gaps in coverage, cover niche topics that aren't being covered, covering communities that are not being covered, doing sites with narrative science reporting, long-form journalism reporting, all kinds of opportunities out there. And then there are media entrepreneurs that are doing back-end creation, which would be to create projects that are might be a way to visualize data. They might be a way to develop a mobile app for something. They might be a way to aggregate or crowdsource something in unique ways. But it's a different kind of entrepreneurship.
They're not so much building the whole shop, but they're building something that could make somebody be able to do their job a little bit better.
Exactly, right.
Now, you're also at American University. You're teaching the graduate program for media entrepreneurship. I think you just recently finished up the first round of that. Tell me about that program and what your experience was in teaching.
This is a very innovative program that just launched in September, and American University's School of Communication is doing it in partnership with the Kogod School of Business. It's designed for mid-career people who have in mind a media project they want to develop. And so the communications courses meet every other Saturday. The business school courses meet one night a week, so you can still hold a job and do this. It's a 20-month program, 10 courses, 30 credits. And I just recently taught the seminar in media entrepreneurship. It was a great cohort group of students. We had a really good time. They had great ideas for projects.
You certainly don't need to go get into the specifics. How would you describe the projects?
Without disclosing anyone's proprietary ideas, I think that they range from news projects on special topics, from education to geographic sites in parts of the coastal areas of North Carolina, to a sports app, to a opportunities for public radio to do some creative things, to opportunities for USA Today to do some creative things. They were very interesting.
And the class was pretty much made up, I think you said mid-career people?
Yeah. Everybody has a full-time job, and there were 9 in this cohort group. I think the next cohort group will be much bigger. But
what was your sense with the students who were coming in at the time? Did they all come in with an idea? Did they develop ideas as they were there? You know, how did that sort of change?
They were given a heads up that they would be needing to develop an idea in their first courses. So they all came in with an idea, but several of them pivoted over the semester to figure out that their original idea was maybe not the best one they could pursue. And so they kind of refined it and came up with something different.
So, you know, in a nutshell, could you sort of describe what the program is trying to do?
We realize that media ideas are coming from a lot of different places. They're coming from traditional journalists. They're coming from nonprofits and NGOs who are now creating a lot of media products that could be commoditized, but they don't think of them that way. Everybody needs to figure out, you know, there are opportunities for ebooks, there are opportunities for websites, there are opportunities for niche news and information. And this is an opportunity to help those who see what they could do actually do it with some skills in finance and marketing and in understanding the landscape and understanding, you know, how to get something off the ground.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this report that you just released a few weeks ago. It's called Network Journalism, What Works. Sort of talk about what went into this let's talk about at first what it was about.
Well, we just released a report called Network Journalism, What Works, and it's a deep dive into 9 collaborative pilot projects we launched in news organizations around the country. And the deal was that we asked 1 legacy news organization, 8 of them were newspapers, 1 was a public radio station, to try to partner with 5 independent hyperlocal news startups in their communities for a year and see how it worked. And by and large, the projects were very successful. We had, in cases in Seattle, they grew their networks from 5 to more than 50 partners. Similarly, in Portland, Oregon, they now have something like 40 network partners. We had a couple projects fail. They didn't quite make a go of it. But by and large, those that did a really nice job. We had 2 topic networks in there, 1 on sports and 1 covering hydraulic fracking in Pennsylvania. So it was very innovative, all very different models.
So tell us about the report and how it sort of breaks things down.
Well, we give an overview section that talks about what you need to do to make these collaborations work. And I think a couple of our takeaways were that the Hub News organization really needs to give their partners visibility on the homepage to drive traffic to them, because they're not paying them for content. They're really doing outbound links. So you need to give them traffic as an incentive to participate in any kind of network. I think the partners, on the other hand, need to produce enough content that they get the visibility on the homepage that drives the traffic, so that it's a win-win for both partners. I think that we also began to see very clearly how fragile the nature is of some of the startups. I think only 1 of the 9 projects has all the partners it started out with. Many of their partners have gone belly up, their founders moved, changed locations, gave it up, got another job, whatever. And we also saw that there are some other trends. There's a kind of a rise of advocacy journalism. There's a rise of sponsored content where people are paying for content on site. There's very limited bandwidth for innovation in mainstream news organizations. So that surfaced as well in this. But we've got 9 chapters in here that look at each site individually.
And where can people find out or get a copy of this report, or can they find it online?
You can order a hard copy online. I think it's $12, and you can read it, the HTML version, at j-lab.org.
Thinking about going forward with journalists and entrepreneurs, where would you like to see, where do you think there's a need in journalism for more entrepreneurship?
Well, I certainly think we'll see, and I hope we do see, watchdog sites happening in every one of the 50 states. We've got quite a large handful now: California Watch, Wisconsin Watch, Vermont Digger, Texas Tribune, that are really paying attention to what's happening out of state government. They're doing investigative and enterprise stories, and they seem to be making a go of it. Many of them have organized into their own professional group, the Investigative News Network. I think we'll see more of that. I think on the hyperlocal level, we'll see more and more sites crop up that are covering local communities that really are too small to get much attention from the mainstream news organizations. But people want to know what's happening. And small towns and rural areas as well, who get very little coverage and nowadays may not even have a weekly newspaper, much less a daily newspaper. So there are opportunities there as well.
Before we wrap up, I want to go back and ask you one more question about education and entrepreneurship. As sort of the industry is evolving with new technology, how well do you think journalism education is keeping up with what's going on?
I think that the light bulb has gone on, and journalism schools realize that they have to change their curriculum. This is no longer about teaching people to write long-form narrative journalism so much anymore as it is learning how to re-architecture stories for the web, do smaller components, put things in different bundles, get the lead and the nut graph up higher in stories. I think that the curriculum is also changing to include entrepreneurship. I mean, there's a realization that a lot of students will take some of the media tools and multimedia skills they are learning and use them to develop their own initiatives, their own projects. And so how do you give them the business skills, the marketing knowledge, the understanding of what it would take to run an operation, as well as just report a story?
Well, I know way back when I was in J school, way back when, I think there might have been a business track or a business component of it, but I think it was either as an elective. It wasn't something that was sort of a part of the base curriculum. And maybe that's sort of what one way that the focus needs to shift, or maybe it has shifted. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been in school. So what are your hopes for the next 5 or 10 years with entrepreneurship, with journalism education?
I think that universities are going to undergo the same disruption that news organizations have undergone as new competitors come on, much more technologically savvy. We'll see a lot more online learning. And so journalism schools need to figure out how they fit into that and how they can come up with creative new products, new degree programs, stackable degrees, certificates, or whatever. I think that will happen in academia. It has to happen. I think in the world of news and information, I think we'll probably, unfortunately, see a lot of metro dailies suffering even more, maybe even going belly up, but a lot of startups taking their place, probably all digital, and focused on smaller slices of topics than the mass market daily used to cover.
And the fact that people are able to, you know, search, I think that's sort of changed the way people have been able to digest news. They'd be able to search for topics they want to do, or they follow people on through social media and get links and things like that. So it's, you know, not only are they, you know, digesting the news differently, they're getting it in different ways. So it's difficult for having a one-stop shop anymore, I think. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, there's just not that interest in the audience anymore for a one-stop shop. And it's a lot of wasted dead trees, I guess, to produce it.
Well, and I think people were, you know, if you only got the newspaper because you wanted to find out the ball scores or what your, how your favorite team was doing, I mean, now you've got so many, you know, websites and you've got so many, you know, radio, TV. I mean, there's so many other options that you have available. You can get the scores and play-by-play on your cell phone. So it's sort of the fracturing of our industry and the way it's sort of reinventing itself. Well, this has been really interesting, really fascinating. I really appreciate you giving me the time. Is there anything else you want to say about JLab and want people to know?
No, I think we've got a lot of online learning modules that for people who want to start their own websites. We have a lot of tutorials on how to do it and a lot of information on the changing news ecosystem. So people might find that valuable if they want to step into this space.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing face of the media. You can find out more about this podcast at itsalljournalism.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @alljournalism. This podcast was designed to be a two-way discussion about the future of journalism. We'd like to hear what you have to say. It's All Journalism welcomes suggestions from listeners about possible topics or interview subjects for upcoming podcasts. Email your suggestions to editor@itsalljournalism.com.